wait, how the fuck does this work?
All right, guys, welcome back to No Parental Control Podcast. Today's guest is, his name is Fernie. He's a musician, he's a songwriter, and someone pretty cool that I've been following for a long time. And I just think he's a pretty cool guy and interesting person, man. What's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. How's it? How's everything going for you?
Everything's going pretty good, man. You can't complain.
Yeah. So, I've been, like I said a while ago, like I've been listening and watching your music career for a while. I think you popped up on my Facebook feed like a few years back. I believe with you were doing like cover songs. It was either a cover song or one of your original songs that you've written. It was like an acoustic video.
Yeah.
And
I did a few covers, and then I did post a few of my originals on there as well.
That's pretty dope. How long have you been singing?
I want to say I've been singing since maybe like middle school, but really pursuing it maybe just maybe like 5-6 years ago.
That's pretty like, dope.
Like really thinking that I could do it maybe like 5-6 years ago. But it's been something that I've always liked to do. I've always liked to sing.
When did you like start to like notice that you could sing?
I guess really it all started with the people that would listen to me, you know? When you get, you know, those compliments, you know, that you sound good, then you start gaining that confidence, you know what I mean? So then I started, you know, obviously doing it more often until I guess people really liked what I was doing, so I just continued, and now here I am.
That's pretty dope, man. Hell yeah. That's obviously, you're from the Valley, right? I forgot to mention that part. You know what I mean? We both, you know, grew up in the Rio Grande Valley. What part of the Valley are you from?
I'm from McAllen.
McAllen? Okay,
yeah, cool. But I lived a very big chunk of my life in Minnesota, so we were back and forth. My parents were migrant workers, so.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So that's where you don't have the Valley accent, I could tell.
Yeah, I did spend a lot of time in Minnesota, especially when I moved out of my parents' house when I was like 16 years old, moved to Minnesota, and I stayed there till about I was like 23 on my own.
Hell yeah.
And but I was in a couple of bands over there, and I had been doing it. I've been writing music and stuff when I was over there as well. And then I came down here and started a few more bands, and I've just been trying to do as much as I can, really.
Yeah, that's pretty. How many bands have you started?
That I can say I started. I want to say about four or five. Yeah, like my first band that I started was called White Tie Events.
Okay.
And we're really into like that whole screamo.
Yeah.
Thing going on. So we started that, and then I started The Call of Omens, which is more like a metalcore, deathcore type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Set in Stone, which is a little more of the, I know there's gent. I don't know if it's because there's a lot of subgenres, you know. So
yeah. What is that one? So, what is, you said gent?
Gent. It's all metal. It's all metal music. The sound is just a little different.
Do you also like scream and stuff, or do you just do like clean vocals?
No, I only do clean vocals, but I have actually today I started watching YouTube videos because I'm trying to learn how to scream. I just recently, me and a few friends from another band that I was in, actually, we started a cover band, and it's an all emo cover band. So we named the band the Emo Knights.
Okay.
And And in that music, there's a lot of screaming involved sometimes, you know. So
yeah.
So sometimes it's hard for me to cover a song when they're screaming. I have to find somebody to do it for me, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
So what I'm trying to do is just, you know, learn it myself and do it myself. That way I don't have to rely on anybody else to do it for me.
There you go.
It's going to take a little while to learn, but I'm trying to learn.
Mm-hmm. So I have been seeing the whole emo nights. I thought that was like an event or something that you were like throwing. So that's an actual like cover band.
Yeah, like, well, I started by throwing, I had been working in the bar industry for a little over 10 years, and I was working at this place called the White Rhino, and the boss there, I gave him the idea, hey man, we should try to do some emo night, you know, some emo nights, you know, people don't really do that around here, I think it'd be fun. And, you know, if we do it long enough, I think it'll catch up and, you know, it'll blow up to something good, you know? So he gave me the chance, and we've been doing pretty good at it or with it. And, once we started this band, it started, you know.
In the Valley, it's definitely pretty hard to get the, like, somewhere for like the metal scene and the emo scene to like kind of, be shown. I remember when I was living out there as a kid, we always like, I would go to shows and it would be like at someone's like backyard somewhere off of 5 Mile Line in Conway.
Man, those were the best shows too. Yeah. I swear to God.
Yeah, I don't know how many times, like, you know, like you, it's like a $5 entrance fee, you know, and you get some weird little wristband. And
yeah, like even sometimes on the weekend you'd have somebody throwing a party and you know you'd be playing in somebody's living room, you know, and that was always fun. So
yeah, I remember, I forgot the name of the band. They were kind of like well known in the Valley.
Was it by any chance? It's because there was a few bands. Your Single Breath.
I remember when I was young, I interviewed with some friends. It was like my friend's interview, but I showed up to Scarlett O'Hara.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was with them for a bit. What's his name? Eddie Cano, I think his name is. Yeah. I hung out with him at a Barnes & Noble.
I still see him around every once in a while.
Oh, really? Yeah. I bumped into him at the Never Say Never Festival. I believe Scarlett O'Hara broke up, his part of Scarlett O'Hara after, I think he left the band or something like that. You know,
they're actually still around, man. They're doing pretty good.
I saw them on Spotify, that they were still coming out with new music and stuff. I think that's pretty dope.
Yeah, man. Actually, the Valley has grown in that sense of the music growing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's Scarlett O'Hara, there's a Side of Impact, you know, there's Sons of Texas, which was pretty big as well.
Okay, I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, Sons of Texas, and I mean, those are all bands from here in the Valley, you know, so it's actually pretty cool to see that, you know.
Yeah, it's insane. I think you know, a lot of people underestimate the metal scene in the Rio Grande Valley, you know. It's pretty big. I think it's like definitely something that the people there want. And yeah, they definitely support it.
And it did kind of go into hiatus for a little bit, but I think it's starting to grow again because now you're starting to see more bands, you know, play at other, you know, I mean, it's not like it used to be back in the day where you had that one venue that everybody would go to, like the VFW.
Yeah, I remember going to the VFW.
But I mean, there's still bands and there's like, you know, there's these bars. You know, you got like the Dungeon, you got the Flying Walrus, you got Hop Shop, the Spot, like you got all these places. The Kraken Lounge, I believe it's called, in Brownsville. Like, okay, all these places are giving the music a chance, and it's starting to grow, and you see it every day. So that's also very cool to see. So
that is pretty dope. Yeah, because I remember, you know, back then it was kind of like hard, and it was like sketch. you know, yeah. to like find the places. I remember like telling my mom where I'm gonna be at, you know, because I was a kid, you know, you know, 14, yeah. 15, and telling my mom, yeah, I'm gonna be like in someone's backyard, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you would see that almost as you would see that almost every weekend, you know. So
yeah.
You don't see that anymore, but I mean, I feel good that I lived that, you know.
Yeah, I feel like after the Never Say Never festival, you know, stopped popping up, it died down a bit, and the whole scene just kind of went away. I think I moved out short because I moved out when I was 16 as well, and I moved up to San Antonio.
Okay, yeah, and you know, the scene there is still. The metal scene there is still very big. Obviously, it's a bigger city. It's a big city, you know. And all the big cities, you're still going to find that, mm-hmm. you know, that good chunk of people that still follow it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot the venue out there that was, like, pretty big. It was, like, a Bared Under Texas scene out there. Or what are the other guys?
Oh, yeah, Bared Under Texas. The Alamo... something, I think it was called, I don't remember. That was pretty big for
yeah,
a show.
Yeah, like, it's all slipping my mind. I've been living in Phoenix the last, like, 7 years, so I kind of, like, forgot the venues out there in San Antonio as well.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of new ones now, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Everything's kind of changed, yeah.
Like the White Rabbit, I remember the White
Rabbit. Yeah, the White Rabbit, there you go. I think they changed the name to it now.
Yeah, it's called, oh my god, I just had it in my, I forgot what it was called, but yeah, it's still a venue, bands still play there, it's just not called the White Rabbit anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I can't remember the name, the big band that comes out of, San Antonio,
Upon a Burning Body.
They shot their
music video intermission there.
Upon a Burning, I was actually listening to them the other day.
Yeah, man.
But, so how many, so right now, like, are you like in another band? Cause other than the Knights, the Emo Knights.
Yeah. That one is more for like a little extra cash in our pockets. And, I am in an original band. It's called The Ghost of Us.
Yes.
And we do have two singles on Spotify or every streaming platform. And we have a music video on YouTube that, you know, people can check out if they want. It's our music video is called To Prevail by The Ghost of Us. And you guys can check that out whenever or however.
If and you how, like how long have you been on that band?
I've been in that band. I want to say I've been in that band about 8 months, 9 months. But everybody lives scattered. You know, like I live in McAllen. My drummer lives in Harlingen. Another guitar player lives in as well as Harlingen. Like everybody lives different.
Oh, okay, so everyone's have, like a good know, like have, 30 you know, minutes have, away.
Yeah, and they have like their you know they have their families and jobs, so it's been very hard to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been working on just getting the songs down and getting the tight ready to go for you know to play our first show and stuff.
That's pretty dope. Is there like how does that work? Like obviously you've been like in the music scene for a bit because you were like in another band, right? That kind of took off.
Yeah, I was in a band called Eris, and actually,
yeah,
most of those members are in the Emo Knights.
Okay, so what happened? Yes. What happened with Eris?
We just there was just some things that were. We just didn't agree on, so you know I decided to part ways with them, but we've been jamming out you know with the Emo Knights and stuff, and actually we've been talking about you know maybe even getting back together, so maybe that might happen. It's a possibility. I don't know yet.
Okay, that's pretty dope, man. I hope that works out. Have you ever like toured and stuff?
Yeah, I have not so much, not like a big tour, but we've done like little small tours here in Texas. And that was fun, but I eventually, you know,
how was that though? Was there like, did you like experience like the rock star life a bit or was it just more like, just like struggle, show up to the venue, set up type of stuff?
You know, to be honest, it was kind of, I don't know. There was no problems getting there. We would show up to the venue, play our show, you know, stay till the end, and then, you know, move on to the next, to the next city, and then do the same thing over again. It never, it didn't feel too crazy, I guess.
Yeah, they, so it, like, hadn't, hasn't gone into that point where, like, you...
It hasn't gone to that point yet, mm-hmm. but I mean, that's, I mean, honestly, that's something that I still, you know, I still want to, like, experience, so I'm hoping that, being in this band that I'm in, the Ghost of Us, we can get it to that point, you know, so we'll see how things go.
Have you made any, like, connections, like, in that music industry, like, to, like, where you can get it to that point?
I, not really, but I can say that using TikTok for our band,
yeah,
has helped a lot, even though, you know, like, it's helped a lot because you get all these people from other places, right? Mm-hmm. And they're listening to your stuff or watching your videos on TikTok, and, you know, they'll message me, you know, asking, hey man, would you, like, when are you guys coming to Buffalo, or when are you guys coming here, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's always, yeah, something to,
I have noticed that, you know what I mean, because, like, your guys' marketing and stuff, it looks very professional. Like, who takes care of your marketing?
I try to do most of it, but mm-hmm. my bass player Marco has also been helping me out a lot, and he's actually, I wish he could just take over, because I think he's better at it than I am. Yeah. but every time I post something, I try to, you know, I try to tag, or I try to push it as much as I can.
Yeah,
because I do want people to see it. You know, I just feel like that we work so hard on stuff. Like, I don't want to just let it die. You know, I just want
to. Yeah, no, that's definitely like the, like, being, like, consistent and being, like, really good at the social media stuff is, like, that's, like, I think, like, the most important part of it, especially, like, nowadays. You know, TikTok is everything. You know, like, I'm not huge on posting for probably, like, why my podcast isn't, like, better. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, yeah. I sometimes, like, honestly, I forget. I don't even have notifications on my phone. But, like, it seems like it's definitely, like, a game changer. You know, if I could pay someone, I probably would do it.
Yeah. And it really does help when you keep posting.
Yeah.
You know, when you do it constantly, it's just, I think it does help. And like I said, I try to post as much as I can. I just don't think I'm the greatest at, you know, saying what I want to say.
Yeah.
When I'm posting something, I think, and Marco is just like, he just always knows what to say. And I'm just like, you know, every time I see a post from him, I'm just like, you know what, dude, just, why don't you just take over this? Like, just be the bass player and the manager. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I need one of those guys here.
Yeah. Like, you know, I just feel like he knows exactly what to say or how to say it. And I'm just like, hey, check the song out. You know, like, there's no effort. Like, I just feel like there's no effort there. I'm just trying to, like, show it to people and hope that they like it.
Yeah, man. I think personally, like, you know, your music is good. You know, your voice sounds, you know, like just as good as the big guys. You know what I mean? Like to be from, like, the Valley, being, like, a Hispanic guy and having, like, your voice. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, yeah, man. I mean, I really try my best, because I really like what I do. So, or I love what I do. So,
have you ever had any clashbacks from people? Like, people, like, kind of like, that's kind of like, you don't sound like how you, like, you know, like, you look, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, cause, like, being from, like, the Valley, you know what I mean? Like, the Mexican culture is huge, you know, like, and it's like, oh, you're doing, like, white boy stuff. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like when I was trying to, like, be a skateboarder back in the day.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. Actually, more than you think. Because, you know, like, somebody will hear me on record and then they're just like, wait, that's the guy? You know?
Yeah.
then they see the profile picture with the band, and then they, and then it's me in the front mm-hmm. with the clean vocals or whatever, and or the music videos, and they're like, "Whoa, I did not expect that voice coming out from that guy."
Yeah, definitely, man. That's what kind of got me. I was like, there's no way, you know, because when I was scrolling through Facebook, you know how the videos automatically play, mm-hmm. you know, and I was just like, I heard a voice and I was like, what is that? You know, and I went back and it was you. And I was like, there's no way that's coming out of this guy, you know, yeah. And then it was, you know, and I was like, wow, like you don't have the Valley accent. You don't have. You know, like, you don't sound like the way, like, most people would think you would sound, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've actually had, like, even my close friends, you know, I'll show them the song, like, hey, man, like, this is the new song we're about to release or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they'll hear, you know, they'll hear me sing, and they're like, man, you sound so, like such a white boy. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure spending a lot of time in Minnesota, you know, help that, you know.
Yeah, that definitely throws people off out there.
But I feel like I've been in the Valley for so long. I feel like I've lost it, because you know you're around here with all your, you know, your families, your family members, and they all speak Spanish or that really Tex-Mex, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that Spanglish. Like, you speak Spanish and English all at the same time.
I hear myself sometimes, like, in videos or whatever, I'm like, I don't sound that white. Like, I sound like I'm from the Valley, you know?
I feel like you don't sound as much from the Valley. You know, because I had the same problem, you know, because, like, I was raised in the Valley, but I grew up, I was born in Houston. I learned both English and Spanish when I moved to the Valley as a kid, you know, and then I spent time in San Antonio as a kid. I spent time in Corpus, you know, I spent time in other parts of Texas, you know, so like when I was like in elementary and junior high and high school, kids were like, why do you have an accent? That's what they would ask me, you know?
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean I have an accent? I'm like, you have an accent, you know, because I never sounded like, you know, like I never sounded like a person from the Valley half the time. At least I didn't think so. That's what they would tell me, you know what I mean? So like I kind of had the same problem, you know. I had problems like finding friends in the Valley and stuff, because like I'd listen to like rock music, you know, everybody was listening to like reggaeton and RBD and all this stuff growing up, and I was like listening to, you know, like Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance, and you know, and I was like, what's going on here? You know, I didn't always fit in.
You still have, like, you know, here, especially here in the Valley, since we're so close to the border, mm-hmm. you still have that, you know, that big fan base for like reggaeton and banda, and, you know, like cumbia, like all that Mexican stuff.
Yeah.
Or Latino music. So it's really hard to find people that like the stuff that you like, you know?
Yeah, it was hard. It was not until like I was like closer to high school when, you know, I found like more people who listen to like different types of music. You know what I mean? A lot of the people, you know, down there, at least, they, you know, they stick to their music. They stick to the stuff that they like, you know what I mean? And it was kind of weird if you didn't listen to what they listened to. You know, it was definitely difficult.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. But like I said, I mean, it's kind of growing now, you know. There's a lot of younger kids, you know, making metal bands, and some of these kids are killing it, man. Like, they're really good. So, it's good to see that. It's good to see
when
that.
What's your end goal? What is your end goal with this band stuff and the music?
I'm trying to go for more like I guess when I was younger, I wanted to be as heavy as I could, mm-hmm. you know, just play the heaviest stuff that you could possibly play. But I guess now that I'm older, like literally mid 30s, I just feel like I just want to write things that people can relate to. Maybe share some personal, you know, life stories.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the music, like, I try to write what I feel at the moment.
Yeah.
So when I'm in my room, like, trying to record something, I try to put myself in a state of mind of like, okay, what would be good to show? What would be good to write? And then I'll be on my guitars, you know, just playing stuff until I feel something, and then I'll just play that on repeat until it makes me feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go from that. I go based off of that. I write the music first, and then I start writing lyrics. And I just, everything's on repeat till I finally figure it out. And I just feel like the way it's going, it's been working out. So it's different. It's a lot different than what I've done before.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good, man. It's we have an EP coming out soon, so I'll make sure to keep you posted on that as well.
Hell yeah, man. So what other, like, writing processes do you have? Because I saw you posting sometimes that you say that you like to, like, write music while you're drinking.
Yeah, man. Actually, I don't know why, but I just feel like I write the better stuff when I've had some alcohol in me.
Yeah, you know? That, something about, like, alcohol and, like, pot, you know what I mean?
Obviously, that's not... I'm not going to say it's not good, but it's not bad, you know?
It helps with the creative process, you know, for sure. You know, because I kind of do the same thing, you know, like, because I write jokes and stuff, you know, because I am going to be doing stand-up soon.
Nice, nice. That's and, awesome.
You know, like, there's times where, like, you know, like, I'll start drinking, you know, and...
It helps you when you're, especially when you're, you know, loosening up a little bit.
Yeah, and it loosens me up, and I come up with something, like, really stupid jokes, you know what I mean? But they're like hilarious. I don't think about this stuff at all, like, when I'm sober, you know. So I think, you know, like, for people who are trying to do something like artistic or write music or tell jokes, you know what I mean, you need to be in a different mind flow, you know what I mean, to get those creative juices going, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I stay away from pot, you know, right now.
So do I,
you know, because especially like when I'm podcasting, because, you know, if I was stoned, like in my other podcast that I've done, like, because I've been doing this for about 2 years now, so like the first year and a half or so I was like completely stoned in most of the podcast, and there was times where I would zone out, you know. And, like, I had no idea what the fuck I was talking about at all. Like, I was just completely just gone, just saying, like, the most ridiculous stuff. And, like, I'd be, like, editing the podcast, and I was like, what the hell was that? Like, the whole combo made zero sense. You know what I mean?
I'd have the same thing going for me for a while. But, yeah, man, like, as far as music, you know... It's still in the works, but I think we have something really, really good, you know, coming out. So I really can't wait for everybody to hear it, man. I think it's going to be awesome.
And for the EP, that's just one song, right? Or is it an entire album?
We have an EP. We're going to have 5 songs in it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be our 2 singles and then the other 3 that we wrote that are, you know, in like mixing and mastering progress and editing and all that stuff.
And do you do all that, or do you hire someone to do the mixing and mastering?
What I do is I record it at my house in my room. Mm-hmm. And then I just send all of that out to our friend or producer, Rudy Martinez. Shout out Dark Art Records. He's really good, man.
Nice.
But I send it out to him, and he does all that other stuff for me, and man, it always comes out so good.
Nah. And then when it comes to like getting shows and stuff, like, how does that process work? Like, how do you like start like the tour or booking shows?
Well, as far as the local shows, it usually like people usually send us a message that, you know, asking us if we want to play. As with tour packages and stuff like that, the one that you would have to ask is Marco. Like I said, he's the one that's more in tune with that stuff. But with local shows, you know, if somebody asks us, I'll just be like, "Hey guys, you guys want to play?" And then if everybody's up to it, you know, we get booked.
That's pretty dope. And then you said that the emo night stuff and all that—that's for like extra cash. Like you're getting paid to be.
We're basically just a cover band that will play at bars, and it's been going so well. We've only been a cover band for about 3 months, and it's been going so well. We got booked almost all of January. We got some shows in February coming up.
That's pretty dope. And do you like just keep the door, or is it a set price?
No, it's just a set price that we give. You know, so we tell the bar, okay, we can play 3 hours for this amount of money, and you know, and then we just keep a tip jar.
That's pretty out there, dope.
You know, for a little more extra cash. So yeah.
Hell yeah. And how's the crowd? Like, how is the people? Like, do they like the covers and stuff? Like, do they get down with it?
The covers, and the people, man, they've been amazing. It's really awesome to see how packed the place gets too. It's really cool. It's really cool to see that.
Do you ever sneak in your own songs in there, like in the middle of a set or not?
Nah. We strictly just do like the covers.
And like, who are you covering?
We do like, you know, the Silverstein, the Used, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Yellow Card, AFI.
Okay, so like all the, you know, for now they're kind of like the classics, I would say.
Yeah, like all the nostalgic stuff, you know.
Yeah, all the stuff I was listening to like in junior high and high school, you know, all the good. That's pretty dope, sir. Man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so it's been going pretty well. So
do you have other plans, like other than like do you, are you gonna stay in the valley or are you gonna try to get out or?
No, well, I haven't thought about that much. So as far right now, I'm just gonna stick here for a while.
Stay there, well, because that's where the band is, right?
Yeah, the band's here. Well, you know, I got my family here, my girlfriend. You know, I don't really want to be too far away.
You know? Yeah, no, that's for sure. You know,
so obviously, if an opportunity comes, I'm gonna take it. You know, it's going to be life changing. So, but I take it, you know, just cause it's still something that I want to do. But right now, since it's just, you know, everything's kind of still in the beginning, you know, I'm just sticking around.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know what I mean? You got to stick close to family. You got to stick to where the band is, you know, and you know, the important stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah, man.
Shoot, hold on. I'm trying to open my notes real quick. So which one? So what was like your first like show? How was that? Like, how old were you when you first started like your first show?
I was probably 14 years old.
Was this in Minnesota or in the Valley?
No, it was in the Valley.
In the Valley. And, like, how did you book that one? Like, at 14, was it, like, a living room one? Or was it, like, somewhere in the backyard?
It was at a backyard, actually.
That's so funny. How did you, were you scared? How did you, like, convince the entire band? Or were you guys all just, like, yeah, this is what we're going to be doing?
I think we just, honestly, I want to say that we just threw a party. And we're like, hey, you know what? We're gonna fucking play, and we did.
Did you guys practice at all before that?
Yeah, we were practicing. We basically booked ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we just threw a party and we just booked ourselves, and then after that, we were just like, okay, well, I think we're doing okay, so let's try to get some shows. You know, let's try to get booked for some shows, and then, you know, we would go to the VFW or wherever, to, you know, because we would also go to other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just talk to the promoter. And we talk to the promoter and see if we can get in. Most of the time, the promoters would be like, okay, yeah, what's the name of your band? Can you guys play this date? And we'll be like, yeah.
Were they and like then, they were yeah. pretty chill with it, or were they like, you know, were they like, would you ever run into like douchey like promoters and you stuff always, like
you
that?
Always you always have those for sure. Yeah, and you always have.
How did you navigate through that though? Like, because I'm pretty sure, like being 14, you know what I mean. They're not gonna be like, oh yeah, like whatever. You probably don't have your shit together or something like that, you know. Because I've heard the combos, you know, like when I was at the VFW and some other shows and stuff. This one guy like happened to be there, and he's like, oh, I have a band and we want to play a show. And the guy just looked at him and was like, you have your shit together or not? You know what I mean? That's literally what he told him. Well,
it was that also, like, if you had a following.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was hard to get a following if you didn't, if you never played any shows, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So sometimes, so like I said, like, sometimes we would just throw parties ourselves and then just, we'd play.
And just get it done?
Mm-hmm, and then hope that people like it and hopefully get asked to play a show.
Yeah,
and it would. I mean, it would work, and it would work. So, yeah, that's how. That's really how it went down, man. That's throw our own shows, or people, or friends would throw, you know, their house parties, and we play in, at their house. And you know, those there's always different kids showing up at different places. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you kind of gain your little fan base.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, they start asking, hey, what are you guys playing here? Hey, you guys are, and, you know.
And how did you do through the pandemic? You know what I mean? With, like, a lot of stuff being shut down and stuff. Like, did you think that, like, musically you were not going to be able to do it again or not?
Actually, I think during the pandemic, I started doing a lot more covers.
Mm-hmm.
Like and posting them on Facebook, because there isn't really much to do, obviously. You can't go out anywhere. So I would just, you know, learn a song, and I'd be like, oh, you know what? I like this song a lot. I'm gonna cover it.
Yeah.
And I'll just learn it and play it, you know. Try to learn it over, you know, a couple of days, and then just try to record yourself taking the best one you got, and then post it on, and hope for the best, basically.
I think like the pandemic, like at least for social media, was like probably like the best time to like start creating. That's when I started this podcast. It was like during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I had really nothing to do. You know, I was working as a roofer at the time, and I was like bored, you know, because you couldn't do anything. You couldn't go out, you know what I mean? And out here in Phoenix, I do Uber full time, you know, so like my weekends, you know, I had nothing to do. You know, I couldn't Uber. I couldn't, like, do anything else, you know. All the cigar lounges were closed and shit, so I couldn't go chill out and smoke cigars, you know. So I was like, and I was listening to, like, a bunch of podcasts, you know, because that was, like, the only thing you could really do. And I was listening to the Joe Rogan, and he was like, dude, like, you know, he said something about starting a podcast, or he said something like that, and he's like, just fucking do it. Like, what the fuck else are you going to do? You know? And I was like, well, you got a fucking point. You know? So I, like, bought this. Like,
yeah, that guy always talks some real shit, man.
He definitely does. You know what I mean? Like, he some of the stuff that he says is funny. And then there's, like a lot of, like, little real shit that he comes up. And, you know, so I bought this mic. And I bought, you know, just, you know, came up with a name. And just started talking, you know, and people actually, like, listened. It was insane. I didn't think I was going to get anyone to listen, you know, for, like, years, you know. And instantly, like, one of my first podcasts got, like, 20 people who listened to it or something like that. And I was like, holy shit, you know. I didn't think, like, one person was even going to listen.
Everything happens kind of slowly, but
yeah,
if you keep at it, you know, it will grow. Like, it's bound to happen.
No, definitely, for sure. Do you have any, like, do you do, like, merch and stuff like that?
Not at the moment, but that's something that we're actually working on for this year.
And is it going to be for which band?
Actually, both of them.
Both?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope, man. And all that equipment, you know, because I've seen the videos of you playing at shows and stuff, like all those lights and stands and stuff. Is that owned by the bars, or is that all your stuff?
The lights are usually owned by the bars.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the sound, we usually have to like find somebody to do it for us. So we have to hire someone.
Oh.
To do the sound mostly, because mm-hmm. usually when we go play somewhere, they already have like the light setups.
Oh, because
okay. It's at clubs, you know.
Yeah,
it's at
yeah. clubs,
so they, you know, they have that, but we have to find somebody to do sound for us.
Like when you first started this, was were you ever shocked at some of the stuff that like came up? Like were you like it was like unexpected like expenses and stuff. Or did you kind of have like a general idea of what you're getting yourself into?
Yeah, pretty much. That's really how it would happen. Nothing really crazy. Nothing too crazy would ever actually happen. So there is mm-hmm. not much to worry about, you know. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. Because I like
everything so far has been running smooth. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty dope, man. I would have figured, like, you know, because, like, if I would have done it, you know, because I do, like, very little research when I do some stuff, you know, because I'm just kind of, like, I get an idea in my head, and I just fucking go for it, you know, and, right. you know, I, like, show up to something, or I'm doing something, and then I just, like, some problem pops up, and I'm just like, oh, crap, I didn't know this was a thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just minor things, like, oh, man, we need a cable, we need a guitar cable. Just
yeah.
random little things here and there. But other than that, everything has been running very
It's been pretty like we're easy.
We're usually pretty prepared.
Yeah.
For stuff. So, yeah. So everything's been pretty good so far, man.
That's pretty dope, man. Like, do you ever have to, like carry people? You know, like almost like someone's, like, pulling their own weight and stuff? Or there's, like everyone you have around you, like, they all kind of like pull their own weight.
Honestly, like everybody that I've been that I'm with is really good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
and they're always so prepared. They've got it figured out. It just goes smooth. It really does. Like, we haven't had any so far, so it's been really fun to, you know, when you start the show, you already know if it's gonna. Gonna go if so, then you're gonna be like, God, it's gonna be one of those nights.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Where it was kind of like I kind of wish this is over already, but you still got like an hour to play. You know what I mean? So you're like,
yeah.
But I mean, but like I said, it everything's been going so well. Everybody, you know, has their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's, you know, good at what they do.
How do you deal with those like disaster sets, you know what I mean, like where shit's going wrong? Have you had that problem or not yet?
No, I've had them before,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you just got, I mean, there's not really much you can do other than just go for it, just keep going,
you know? Keep performing. Is there ever like a talk afterwards, like, hey dude, you fucked up?
Yeah, there's always that talk, like, guys, we fucking sucked today, you know?
Yeah.
But we always have that, you know, we always have that, you know, like, hey, don't worry about it, man. There's going to be plenty of shows. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is not going to be our last show. And we're going to have shows like this, you know. It's bound to happen no matter what. It's going to be good shows, there's going to be bad shows. Really, it's just, you know, rolling with the punches, man.
Yeah. How many years did you do this, like, for free?
All of my life.
All of your life.
All of my whole life, man. I mean, just really up to recently. Well, you know, even with the other band I was in, we would get hired to play our original stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, with the Emo Nights, it's been good because we're getting paid for those gigs. And like I said, we did it intentionally for that. We also wanted to be the only emo cover band that's here in the Valley, which we basically are. And it's been going so well, man. Like I said, we got booked for a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of shows. And we're getting paid for those. So it's been fun, man. It's been really fun, and we're learning more stuff as we go, and we're just hoping to, you know, build it up a little more.
That's pretty dope, man. Hell yeah. Yeah, this whole you know, like, I definitely thought there was a lot more money involved in doing stuff that you love.
yeah. No, there really isn't, man. Like, everything, a lot of it comes from your own pocket.
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, like, I think I've made a total of $10.80 from my podcast, and I have spent close to over.
Yeah, man, it's really hard to make money off of it, but a lot of times it's not even. A lot of times you don't think about that. You just want to show.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Definitely. You know what I mean.
You just want people to like it, really. And it's better when you play after a show. You get people coming up to you. You know, hey man, you guys did awesome. You sound great. But like, that's always better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's always better.
That's so dope. Have you had to sign autographs yet or not? Nothing like that. Yeah, just a bunch of photos.
I haven't gone to that point yet. Like I said, it's still something that I want to do. I feel like I'm at a, like, there's limited time.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of faith in it. So I think something will, you know.
Yeah, it'll keep going, man. I think what you guys are doing.
I have people around me that are very supportive. You know, my mom, my girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
You know, my friends. You know, it's been good. Like, when you have people like those around you, like, you always have that, like, I guess, peace of mind that something good is gonna happen. You know, you always definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, from what I've heard, you know what I mean, with your other band Arius and with this new band and with your cover stuff, from what I heard, you know what I mean? I think you definitely got it. You know what I mean? You got what it takes to make it out of the valley. You know what I mean? How they say it. You know,
yeah, man,
make
like,
it
and,
out.
And like, yeah, to make it out of the valley. Yeah, and you know, like, a lot of these other bands that have made it out, you know, I really wanna be out there with them, you know what I mean?
So, hell yeah.
So it's something that me personally and like everybody, you know, trying to do. So I think this might go. And I'm just,
no, definitely, man. I think you definitely got it. Was what it takes. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, you're promoting yourself, you're booking stuff, you know, if, you know what I mean? I think you're going to be doing good in the music business regardless. You know what I mean? And that's pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, and even if it didn't, like I said, that's something that, you know, I have no regrets. Everything I've done it because I wanted to and I love it. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm never going to quit doing this, you know, so.
Hell yeah, man. And
whether it takes me somewhere or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, I feel like it already has.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, so I'm happy with that too, you know. So
yeah, hell yeah, man, that's pretty dope, man. So you know, before we get out of here, man, do you have any social medias or anybody you want to shout out before we get out of here?
Yeah,
like where do people follow you? What is your social media? How do people listen to your music?
You can follow the band. You can follow my band, The Ghost of Us, on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. Instagram, you can find us on TikTok. And then, of course, Spotify, you know, iTunes, all that stuff, all that fun stuff.
All righty, man. Hell yeah, man. First of all, man, you know, thank you.
We're gonna be putting up a page for the Emo Nights as well.
Okay.
We do plan on playing outside of the valley as well. So we're gonna make a Facebook for that. So keep a lookout for that one too.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you. First of all, thank you for coming on, man. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of your work.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm a fan of your work. You're doing good, and you know, keep on keeping on, man.
Will do, man. Will do, brother.
All righty, man. I'm going to go ahead and end this then. Thank you, guys. Right, thank you so much. Like, subscribe, follow the podcast. Go check out Fernie and his band. Thank you, guys.